U105 Drive with Johnny Hero.
Special guest today, Conal Gallen. How you doing, Conal?
How are you, Johnny?
You're looking well. Can I tell you something? Kathy went out to collect you. You know that
yes.
He works in here. And she says, I didn't recognise Conal. He looks very dapper today.
Which probably says...
You washed your face.
So that's how I looked the last time I was here.
You know, so how's things going for you?
Very, very good, Johnny. It's amazing. The longer it goes on, the busier it gets. It's just... This last 6-12 months has been incredible. We changed direction for a while.
Because you're famous for your stand-up show, but then you went into... You had a play and all on the go as well,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. My son's idea.
Yeah.
A few years ago, we were driving back from a gig somewhere. He works with me all the time, and he says, why don't we do a play? And I honestly thought he had a play in mind. And I said, God, that's a great idea. I said, what play were you thinking of? And he said, actually, we'll write one.
I would just write one.
And I exactly had the same reaction. I laughed out loud. And he says, no, I'm serious. And I said, well, what? And we discussed a plot in the car. That was probably a 2 or 3 hour run. And we had this... story, and we sat down the next morning before we forget it. We wrote out a synopsis of the story of the play, which is a great idea because you can do anything when you're. But as when you get down to the technicals of it, and you know you have to make it fit a budget and fit a stage and fit a plan. And
that's
all.
Right.
And we started it and we went at it and we left it and we went back at it loads and loads of times. And then last year we sort of had to make up our minds, or maybe the year before. Are we going to tour a play or tour the stand-up? Because you have to book theatres in different ways.
That's right, yeah.
So we said, right, we'll do the play. No, we hadn't the play finished, and we booked all these theatres. So a bit of pressure on.
You hadn't it finished?
We hadn't it finished.
Right.
But eventually we did finish it. But but again, I have three other actors on stage with me. But I knew they were going to be in the play while we were writing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we were able to write it with them in mind, you know. And... when we finished the play, we actually took out the original synopsis that we had written, and it bears no resemblance at all to the story, to the play.
Yeah.
It just sort of went off.
But
on its
you
own.
Need something to kickstart you anyway. You
oh,
know?
Yeah. And even yet, we had to stop. I had to stop putting extra bits in. Every night we'd do the show, and there'd be extra stuff added.
You see, the likes of you, you're like a sponge. You're constantly getting ideas.
All the time.
I'm presuming that you would even... That show could change from week to week, just, you know.
Well, it changes from night to night.
Yeah.
I'll give you a good example. We normally have dinner before the show, and Jack, who plays the part of Willie in the play, it was a typical question for dinner before the show. Jack say, and Conal, and tonight's changes are...
Yeah,
and I would say, yeah, I have this idea here, you know, for maybe we could do this, and we'll do a quick run through even at the table, you see. And the guy who plays Dick, he leaned over, he says, well, you're lucky. He says, I don't find out what tonight's changes are till I'm sitting on the sofa beside him on the stage.
Yeah.
I usually throw one
at you. See, but your training would teach you to be spontaneous and
do that,
you know.
Oh, yeah, but like I say, the people I have on stage with me won't be throwing that much. I wouldn't throw it at them if I didn't think they could handle it, you know.
Ah, exactly.
And if anybody makes a mistake on stage, no mercy.
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, well, you don't want everybody standing looking awkward. Yes, get tore into them.
Oh yeah. I mean, this has happened, and I know. I tell you what it is, Johnny, it's great fun. I mean, from our point of view, from stage point of view, it's great fun. It's great for me to be working after 27 years doing stand-up on your own, to be going on stage with three other people every night. It's a completely different ball.
It's like back to your days with the group.
It's exactly like that.
You've got a bit of support there, you know.
Yeah, but it's a massive bit of support. But like I say, every night's different. We one of the nights last week in the Aluminium Forum in Derry, we had this little thing with a cordless drill. But just at that moment, this guy got up in the front row to go for a pee, but the drill was pointing at him, so the whole thing stopped, and we all stopped on stage, and we looked at him, and he walked, and the whole audience.
Yeah.
Watched him going out. I mean, there was a minute of solid laughing, and I can imagine what he was saying under his breath.
I'm sure he took a while before he came back in.
Yeah, I know, he was great afterwards. He went on Facebook and everything afterwards, and he had a great night. You know?
So you did the Millennium Forum. Did you do five nights there?
Five nights last week, yeah.
Listen.
And we already had one.
You know, this is the month when nobody's any money after Christmas.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're really bucking the trend.
It is, but I think it's a case of there's been so much doom and gloom and you know, everybody giving out about this and that there, and they come along for a couple of hours and they watch a story unfold. It's a totally unbelievable story. it's about two people who are trying each to have an affair unsuccessfully, But it's they watch the history. The only people who know actually what's happening on stage are the audience.
Right.
That's a great way of putting it. They know.
Who do you play in this?
I play a lovely lady by the name of Brady Murphy.
Right. Brady Murphy.
Yeah.
So that is you in that photograph that I'm looking at.
Yes. Yeah, it's a stunner, isn't it?
And any wonder Kathy said you were looking dapper.
So, I haven't seen that.
So is there a... So there's affairs going on, right?
Yeah.
Well, anything else you can tell us about it?
It's more a farce than a play.
Right.
There's a lot of in and outdoors and people missing one another and people's misconception of what somebody else is talking about. And
yeah,
that's one of the, I don't want to say too much. I don't want to give too much away.
I know it might be. Yeah.
It's because people have gone to see it, and we have a lot of people who've come back two and three times. People have gone, when they go to see it the first time, they say to you afterwards, you know, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
You know,
but then again, if you keep changing it every night over dinner, is it any wonder?
The cast are going, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. I've got there's a 50 Shades. You tackled 50 Shades?
Yes.
I've got a clip of this. Kathy dug this out. We'll have a listen to this. Just a wee short clip.
Oh, I see you're reading the 50 Shades of Grey.
Reading it, Dick? We're like studying it. Have you read it yourself?
Well, yes, I have, cover to cover. Well, what's the highlighter for?
Don't worry, you'll find out soon enough.
And that went well for you, too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we see, what you do is you add in stuff. You add in... I threw a gag in there just before Christmas into the play. It wasn't in it, but I was doing a television recording, and during the break, one of the guys there told this joke, and I thought it was very funny, and I'm thinking, I know a place I can get that into the play.
Told you, sponge.
Yeah.
Theft. You take everything in.
You know the famous Irish author John B. Keane?
Yeah.
From Listowel. I know his son actually very, very well. But somebody said about John B. Keane, he had the pub in Listowel. And I mean, he's written all those famous plays. But somebody said about him in Listowel, what he did was he was very cute. He used to sit in the pub and listen to the old fellas talking. And then he'd write it down and put it in a play and charge them a tenner then to hear it.
As you say, that's the way to do it.
So that's what he was doing.
So listen, you're in the Opera House on Sunday.
On Sunday night, yeah.
The Struhl Centre in Omagh, Friday the 7th. You're there on Saturday the 8th as well.
Saturday the 8th is gone.
Saturday the 8th is gone, has it?
Yeah.
Right, okay. I told you, there's only you and Garth Brooks selling tickets this weather. You're in Cookstown the 21st and the 22nd.
22nd is gone.
You're doing the Olympia in Dublin as well.
Yeah, in March.
You're all over Ireland, basically. You know?
Yeah.
Do you ever get, I mean, I know, sad question, because you've been touring about everywhere for years. Do you ever just get tired?
No, you're permanently tired. I mean, I've been in a state of permanent tiredness for as long as I can remember. but seriously, it's very hard. I can't remember times where I'm like, yeah, God, I'm full of energy here. You know, yeah. And maybe it's, I don't know, it's just the wrong lifestyle or whatever. But that comes with a job and you get used to it. But it's the way I've only done seven stand-ups. I'm doing my seventh stand-up on tomorrow night. And then it's all play. And normally I do about 130 stand-ups.
Yeah.
But I'm in Cavan tomorrow night in the Hotel Kilmore to do a stand-up show. And then I come home and I go to Athlone on the Saturday night. And then we come home and we come here to Belfast on the Sunday night. But that's part, and you know yourself, it's part and parcel of it. It's the side people don't see, and it's the side most people don't like in the business.
Yeah, it always gets me, because you'll get people saying, "Here, you get your money easy standing on stage for 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're going, oh,
yeah, I'll arrive and I'll just drop into Belfast at 8 o'clock on Sunday night. Yeah. Do you know how great we think? Funny, one of the boys, Paddy, pointed out, one of the cast, we all travel together. Four of us travel together in the car, and my son, who's director. And so the five of us always travel together in the car. We've done 47 performances of the play all around the country. The radio has never been on in the car. Sorry to tell you that. But it hasn't, because it's just talk and crack on the way to the gig and on the way back.
But that's brilliant.
Sometimes we'll do, maybe if it's a Thursday or Wednesday night gig, we'll do a line run on the way just to freshen up for the weekend, you know. But generally
that would give you a bit of a clue as to why the show's so successful, you see, you know.
Because everybody is so much into it, everybody that's in it, and even yet we'll go down for a sound check and we'll all get costumed up and ready, and we'll still be on the set, on the stage behind the curtain, and somebody's still saying, see last night when we did that, could you move a bit this way, you know. There's always it's nobody's turning up and saying, oh, here we go again. Because we were initially, the initial tour was 31 nights.
Yeah.
It's now gone, it'll now be over 100. There's over 25,000 people have seen it.
Well, that is terrific. So tell us, who else is in it?
I've got a fella called Jack Quinn playing the part of my husband, Willie. And another guy, Paddy McMenamin, who plays the part of a TV repairman called Dick.
Yeah.
And a fabulous actress called Katie Bradley, and who's been in a good few films, and she plays the part of, would you believe, Cynthia.
Cynthia, right. Mm-hmm. Horse of India.
Listen, come here. How could I leave it out?
No, you could not. You could not. Listen, Connell, thanks. As I say, Opera House is the big Belfast date, and it's happening on Sunday. We have inquired. There are a couple of tickets left.
Yeah, it is.
A couple in the stalls and a couple in the gods. But it's selling well for you, so we're glad to hear that.
Oh, yeah. It'll be brilliant. I've never performed the Opera House. I've been to shows, but I've never actually performed it. So I'm really looking forward to that end of it, you know.
Brilliant. Well, Connell, thanks for coming in.
Johnny, not at all. Thank you. Keep well.
He says you can't get anywhere tomorrow and get back again today because the train that goes tomorrow is a mile upon its way. I was so disappointed. I was mad enough to swear. But the train had gone tomorrow and it left me standing there. Oh, your man was right in telling me my mind had gone astray. We might never see tomorrow, so we'll just enjoy today.